Summer is here, and we're taking the opportunity to pull out some highlights from previous episodes of the After Dinner Leadership podcast. In episode 22, Sheila Walsh spoke about her work in inclusive leadership, and it's one of our most listened to conversations. Now, this excerpt picks up on one of the lessons she wished she'd learned earlier. Leadership is all about learning. Interestingly, I love it when someone asks for a reading or listening recommendation. Reading new ideas, even if you disagree with them, can stimulate a different way of thinking, different way of feeling, a different set of actions. We hope that this episode does the same for you. Enjoy this bite-sized portion of our After Dinner Leadership podcast. So leadership isn't about you. Second point was leadership is given by those you lead. And third, it's always about learning. It's leadership is not something you are finished with. Is that a fair representation?
Yeah, I think that's good.
Ryan, where would you like to start on those?
The learning part.
Great.
The learning part of continuous learning through the roles and responsibilities you have as a leader.
Yeah. It triggers a thought. I had this experience just in the last couple of weeks where we're doing some feedback skills practice virtually with a client. So just practicing feedback conversations. And one of the people come on and said, I don't know why I'm here. I've spoken to my people recently and they've told me I'm an excellent manager. And so I don't really need any practice on giving any feedback messages. And it ended up being a really good coaching conversation, but it was quite an interesting starting point to the conversation was, yeah, I'm good at that. I don't need any practice on it. And I'm kind of finished. Tell us your thoughts on that, Sheila. Why is that one of the leadership lessons you wish you'd learned earlier?
Yeah. Can I respond first to your point? Because I actually think it's a really good one. I think one of the challenges with anybody in a position of power being told by their people that they're good at something is that it's completely out of balance power-wise. So I'm not going to tell my manager they're terrible unless I'm really fed up of them. I'm not going to say you need to improve that because they have power over me. So we need to be curious when we're getting feedback from people with less power in certain situations, whether that's actually how the power is influencing that feedback. So that's the first thing I'd say about leadership is you're usually in a position of power. And so feedback needs to be sought out in ways that are safer to be given critical feedback. So that's the first thing. And the person might be really good at feedback and that might not be an issue. But I never, ever trust when somebody in a disempowered position gives feedback that reinforces an ego point because there's too much going on there to just take it at face value. So that's the first thing. So that kind of lends into the leadership learning piece, which is, so there's a couple of things. One is there's no one size fits all. So your style of leadership might be effective in one organization and not another. I wish I knew that earlier. That would have been very helpful. But there's also a piece here, which is you might have a team or work with certain people and be really effective and find that you're not as effective with other personalities or other agendas or other professions or interacting with people who are used to another industry. And so I think one of the challenges with leadership is you get to a point where you have enough competence to lead because you're getting results, but you can actually kind of rest on your laurels and think that's enough. But the reality is that there's always going, because like we're really complex as human beings, there's always going to be new things emerge and new challenges. And even if it's not a challenge, there'll be new room for potential and growth. It doesn't have to be a negative. So for me, realizing that actually you'll never get to a point where you go, I'm just a really good leader, full stop, is actually really important because it stops you feeling like you're failing as well when, you know, you're not getting that kind of sense of rest. But I would be curious about, for Ryan, why that stood out to you from the three of them, like what about that resonated?
Well, I think that, you know, I'm in my early 20s and it's a time I'm studying at university as well as working, and this idea of learning and continuous just feeding yourself with knowledge but experience and this continuation of just learning and trying to soak things up is kind of where I'm at in my, it feels like that's the stage of my life, that it's from, you know, your 20s until you've got a bit of experience behind you, that it's that learning process. But actually what you're teaching, and which I completely agree with, is that that's not the phase of life that you're in. Maybe it's more prominent, but that actually this is, you're learning the skills and habits for the rest of your life, that it's a continuation of learning and development, maybe just with different experiences and opportunities available.
Yeah. And I think it's different types of learning. So there's the knowledge learning, and then there's the reflexive learning, and then there's the active live learning, because something happened, went wrong, went right. And then there's learning from peers. Then there's learning from direct reports. You don't always have that when you're first getting into leadership roles. Mm-hmm. You're not learning from the people that report into you. You're learning from the people usually above you or ahead of you. So I think what we learn and how we learn will change as well. But I think if you close off the learning like that, we'll get a lot of stagnation in boardrooms. And that's what we see sometimes. Like we saw with COVID, there was a lot of stagnation in some of those boardrooms. CEOs and C-suite executives had got somewhere, were used to it being done a certain way, and then found themselves deeply challenged by having to change how they did things. So I think the recent events is a really good example of the need to continuously learn.
Sheila, can I ask on this? So if I'm a manager and I'm feeling a little bit plateaued, it might not be that I think I'm great, but I'm focused on the technical aspects of what I do rather than the leading the department or leading the people. It's like more like client delivery. Any thoughts on how I can get that spark back into my life in terms of actually this appetite to want to keep learning about leadership?
That's a good one. I think when you say spark, I'm like, oh, that's a bit hard, because leadership lights me up. People, relationships, it lights me up. I didn't accidentally get into this work. So it is the stuff I enjoy. But I think what can sometimes happen is that people leaders reach the level of their competence in their technical skills, and that becomes really safe. But then that also is where the plateau happens, because now they know everything and they are actually the smartest person in the room when it comes to solving a problem. But it is really threatening to then move towards being at the lower level of competence in terms of your leadership or strategic or relational skills, when actually you hold power up here higher with your technical competence. So I think the first thing is actually saying that there's two elements to a lot of leadership roles. One is your technical competence to some degree, and one is your strategic and relational competence. And we usually do the one we're most comfortable with. So we all spend time doing the thing we feel we're better at. So I think it's being okay with doing something that we will be less competent in. And we tend to shy away from that the further on in our careers we go, because we get comfortable with being competent. But it's that same confidence that leads us to that plateau of kind of feeling a bit purposeless, not really feeling like we're making a real difference, because we're always dealing with the same technical kind of challenges. So I think that's one of them. But if I was to throw kind of like something from the side, I would say that a lot of leaders spend a lot of time getting to certain positions and they neglect their personal lives. And so then work can't fulfill everything. So once they get there, they can actually see that their life's a little bit out of balance, or they're not as satisfied, relationship, social life, creativity. And I think that needs to be looked at that point of plateau as well. So yes, we need to say, okay, how do we start building up a different competence? But we also need to ask, have we sacrificed things that actually would lead us to feeling like alive and sparked and interested and curious?
Yeah. I it's interesting. It's kind of this whole person perspective again, isn't it, rather than just the persona they have at work that can help with that. Ryan and I were talking earlier today actually about a friend of ours who their consultancy, they're a very successful management consultancy, and they have a policy where they give £300 a year for people to spend on themselves, to develop themselves. So outside of the formal training and development programs that they've got, it's like learn a new skill or develop a skill that you've got. So it could be someone's going to do pottery, or they're going to do painting, or they're going to do singing lessons, or they're going to pay to go to the gym. You know, something that helps develop themselves in some way that's not sponsored by the corporate training that they provide as well. Mm-hmm. And just the knock-on effect of that we were discussing was actually this, actually when you learn something and you go through that process of failing and not doing it quite right, it's actually really stimulating if you're in the right environment. And I think that can carry into other aspects of your life as well. You know, courage to take on a new skill when you're, let's say, in your 40s or your 50s or 30s, whatever the age is. It's actually quite a powerful thing. I'm going to start some singing lessons shortly, for example. And that's going to be a really good learning curve for me, you know, just to strengthen that. Who knows, in future podcasts we might have a little
rendition. I was gonna say, let's have a singing intro in future podcasts.
Our after dinner conversation is done, our guest has left, and you're still here. You're very welcome. I'm glad you found the conversation engaging, and I have a favor to ask. Stop and think about someone you know that would find this conversation valuable. A family member, a friend, a colleague, perhaps an aspiring leader. Send it on to them. Share the message. Also, please subscribe or follow the podcast. It only takes a second and it allows you and others to get easier access to these conversations. Thanks so much, and join us again soon for another episode of the After Dinner Leadership Podcast. You can leave now. I need to do the dishes.